Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Trailer Talks, the Marcellus Shale Water Project, is a combination of live events, sound pieces, radio broadcasts, home movies, and an evolving interactive website that you're welcome to participate in. We're exploring the impact of natural gas drilling on New York's water resources and the issues being debated in our neighborhoods throughout the country and globally. What is guiding people's decisions about whether or not to lease their land for gas drilling? And at what point do the rights of the individual diminish in the face of the health of an entire area? What role does water itself have on the ability for an area to survive by providing for itself? What impact is this having not only on the communities in the shale regions, but also on the national dialogue and policymaking decisions around energy extraction? What defines the American dream, and how does it impact the decisions being made in our communities? Trailer Talk's Marcellus Shale Water Project explores the impact of natural gas drilling in our neighborhoods. Local culture, generations of history, and beloved homes can be lost when the oil and gas companies, intent on fossil fuel extraction, move into a new region. We're facing a complete shift in our region as this largest ever concentration of gas lies in wait beneath our feet. Please go to www.trailertalk.net and talk to us. Well, I could be talking to actor-director Mark Ruffalo about his role in Lisa Cholodenko's film, The Kids Are All Right, or about the first film I saw him in, You Can Count on Me, or perhaps talk about his role in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or Zodiac, or Shutter Island, or perhaps speak to him about his directorial debut with Sympathy for Delicious, which won the special jury prize at the Sundance Film Festival. But today, Mark Ruffalo and his wife Sunrise join me for Trailer Talk to talk about his fight to stop unsafe gas drilling and fracking in New York State and the region. Because above all else is fighting to protect what is essential in a community for everyone. Mark lives in a tiny little town in the western Sullivan County Catskills, Calicoon. Calicoon sits on the banks of the Delaware River, and right across from it is Pennsylvania, where drill sites are being set up. And where drilling has begun and the fracking, the consequences have already been devastating. Water contamination, air pollution, sick animals, congested roads and heavy truck traffic, helicopters overhead, and the small town farming communities have been turned into industrial sites. Mark joined me in Bethel, New York at the fundraiser for New York State Senate candidate David Sager, who supports a natural gas drilling moratorium. Our conversation was cut a bit short because the trailer lost power. The batteries went dead. That's been fixed now. Oh, working on a little beeline.
All right. Well, I also have homemade chocolate chip cookies. I just made them a couple of hours ago.
Wow,
the last peonies of the season.
Wow, those are them.
And thank you.
Hi.
Do you want a microphone? No? Okay. All right.
Are you sure? Will you jump in if you...
If you feel like it, you can jump in.
Is it for me?
Yeah, have a sip of some Dimmick water. And look.
Beautiful.
So, I have joining
really
me...
Familiar.
It looks familiar. Well, I have Mark Ruffalo joining me. Thank you so much. So, you collected this water in Dimmick, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
And it ended up in my hands, thanks to Victoria Lesser. Thank you, Victoria. I was in Dimmick in the wintertime and was devastated by the people I spoke to, what I saw, what I heard. Mm-hmm. Seeing something like that in operation is so different than what the imagination, I think, can even do.
Yes.
I had traveled to West Virginia a couple of years ago, and I took Trailer Talk to the mountaintop removal region of West Virginia, Cayford Mountain.
Wow.
I'm still recovering. I don't think actually I'll ever recover from what I saw there.
Yeah.
And what they told me in Appalachia, which was do whatever we can to stop it, to prevent it from coming to our neighborhoods, because they're dealing with coal extraction there and the mountaintop removal, but they're familiar with natural gas drilling, and it's the same industry.
Yep.
So, Mark.
Yes.
Where do we begin? Let's first, I've admired your work as an actor and a performer. You're a theater person. It'd be wonderful to combine, actually. I'd like to combine that, you as an artist, with you as a resident, as a neighbor of mine here in Sullivan County, and what the connections are for you and why you've decided to take a stand.
Well, we've been out here for almost 12 years now. And, you know, we came as I was a very poor actor. I only had I had a $5,000 savings. I was living out of a suitcase, going from one little theater to another in New York. And I came up here, and I saw three places. And I bought the second place I saw.
I saw three places, yeah. And I bought the first.
Right.
And it was 16 years ago.
Okay, there and you go. So it's very similar.
Yeah.
And Sunrise, my wife, but my girlfriend at the time, I told her, when she asked me what I had done that day, and I said, I bought a house. She said, what do you mean? In the city? Where? And I said, it's in upstate New York. She's like, what are you talking about? And I said, she said, why didn't you tell me? So we're not married yet. But we came up here and we really fell in love with the place. And we fell in love with it because it's just a really clean, unspoiled, affordable, so you get a very real kind of person here. This isn't the Hamptons, and it isn't Rhinebeck, and we really liked that about it. We really liked how humble it was, and because of that humbleness and humility that the place had, came a real love for purely the land and our resources and just the beauty of looking out on a gorgeous expanse that wasn't soiled by too much tampering over the 100 and so years that this has been a place to be. And so that was something we really loved, and we tried to get up here as much as we could. It was what we called our home, essentially, as we wandered
and
around.
And home is something I've been thinking about so much. And what does that mean for us to have a place that we can call home? And with this natural gas drilling that's come into our neighborhood, there's this possibility of a loss of it, of a displacement, of a distortion.
Mm-hmm. The gas drilling... it's not only going to make the place ugly, it's not only has the potential of poisoning the water and the air, but it also has a real potential of destroying this community. It's a community that transcends, I think, political boundaries. It's a community that, honestly, you know, Sunrise, my wife, broke her leg in October last year, and the outpouring from neighbors with food and you know, people we barely knew came to help with the kids, and that's a rare thing. And this gas drilling, I could see it already, is what happens with most booms and busts, is a small percentage of the people end up getting wealthy at the expense of a greater percentage. And right now, there's a lot of paranoia that I've never seen here before. There's neighbors infighting, families infighting, and that's it. That's a community, and I think a community is a home.
Yes. And that, so in your neighborhood, are you finding that then with neighbors? Are people talking about what their decisions are? And if so, because that's something I'm very interested in too, is how many things are at stake. And it seems that there are so many levels, right? I mean, we're looking at something so precious as water being destroyed, and that's a finite resource and one that our lives depend on. Then we talk about air, right? But then everything else, it seems, community, friendships, relationships, the infrastructure of our towns, our county.
The local politics scene.
Local politics can
be destroyed.
I think it really, you know, I've been going to these town meetings and I see how hotly contested this is. And I've seen people get really ugly when they announced that the Delaware River was, you know, top of the 10 most endangered rivers in the United States. There was some real ugliness happening there. And, you know, people were shouting down the our Representative Hinchy, and they were throwing water at people. And you know, I saw a gentleman actually, like, physically get in Hinchy's face and sort of impose himself on him. And it's just, I never would have imagined that happening here.
That could happen here. And I'm wondering for you, at what point did it become clear that you wanted to stop it? You want a moratorium, EPA study that you're supporting Dave Sager as a Democratic candidate
for the Senate.
But at what point? Because I know for me, when I first heard about natural gas drilling, and it was maybe 2.5 years ago now, I didn't know much about it. I really didn't. And I had to educate myself quite a bit. And I keep learning. And the more I learn, the more clear I get that we must stop it.
Yes.
Until we know that it can be done safely.
I'm like you. Two years ago, I sort of heard of it. And then I started to educate myself about it. I really wanted to know what it was, how it was done, when it would be coming here. And the more I found out about it, the more dubious it became. Everywhere that this has been disastrous for the towns, for the people who've experienced it. I've been to Dimmick myself. And
Did you share with us about Dimmick?
Yeah, it's you know, it's so desperate there. There's no one. We went there, and these people are the local government has turned their backs on them. It's so outrageous and criminal what's happened to these people. They can't drink their water.
And these are people who leased. Who chose to lease their land.
These are people who leased openly. They bought the whole line. This is going to change your life. You're going to make a lot of money. And now they wish they had never heard of hydraulic fracturing drilling. And they're still making money from it.
Right.
And not one person that I talked to there has had a good experience with them. And as you drive around there, you just see the roads have been widened. You see these like hilltops cut off. Yes, white company trucks going back
and
forth.
Of all sizes.
Constantly, 24/7.
Helicopters. Right?
And then the light pollution, the way they light the drill rigs up, it's literally like a stadium at night. And I go there, and these people are so desperate to have somebody intercede on their behalf, because there's nobody to take care of them. And that's in PA, and it's a cautionary tale for us. And that's why, you know, why I'm supporting David Sager. He's somebody who really understands this issue. Yeah. He's a local politician who isn't down the well, so to speak. And by that, I mean, he's not leasing his land.
Right.
He's not being taken on golf trips. He's not, you know, I really think that there's a lot of corruption around this particular issue. I've seen the way certain, you know, the townships are acting towards their citizens who are concerned about this. And there's a prevailing attitude that they're silly or hysterical. And so... I think that goes all the way up to Albany. There's a lot of money involved in gas drilling.
What about the farmers?
Yes.
Because the farmers seem to be caught in a way.
Yes,
they're
caught in the middle.
But they're caught in the middle. And I know that you're surrounded, aren't you, in your community by farmland and farmers.
Yes.
So how are you navigating the conversation? What do you think are the most pressing issues?
I think a real problem and why this is such a big deal is that these farmers can't support themselves anymore by farming. So they're sitting on 150 acres that they have to pay for, that they have to maintain, and that they have mortgages on, and they can't afford it. And all of a sudden someone's coming around and offering them $1,000 an acre, money that they've never seen in their lives. And I think they're put in a position to, you know, they've been pushed down for so long, they have to take it.
Right.
It looks like a safety net for them. And farmers that I've talked to or people who have, you know, parents who are farming, you know, they say, hey, I've been working this farm for, my family's been working this farm for 150 years. I haven't had a break and I want to leave my wife something. I don't have a retirement or something. So, you know, there's that aspect. And then they're sort of stuck in the, what is that?
1 second. Something in there. Okay. Long as the camera's going, we're good. I don't know what that means. So let's hope.
Yes.
Let's hope the power. We'll know if the power goes off. What it means. I'm like, oh God.
Is that like? Is that what it
well,
is?
Well, there are batteries in that closet that operate everything, and I'm like, oh, you. I know. We'll find out. Oh my
let's
gosh.
Let's go until it does.
That's right. Until the lights go out.
Yeah.
the farming. I mean, that is a real issue, and I would love to keep talking to you about it because, you know, the thing is, we can't ignore that situation. At the same time, I don't think it should be the burden of any individual to have to make a choice that can so adversely impact everyone around them.
Yes, that's why I don't want to give my neighbors a hard time about this. You know, I hear their argument and I understand it, but this is a public safety issue. I'm all for somebody, you know, doing what they want and on their land and having the life that they dream of having, just not at the expense of my family and the folks around us. You know, I have nothing to gain by standing up and saying no to this.
Right.
I have nothing to gain to go up to Albany and talk to the senator and talk to the assembly. It's purely because I care about the water and the air and the safety of the people. That's where I've been going. I've been just going, you know, I've been going to the government. I've been going to the people who regulate this thing. You know, it's not up to the farmers ultimately.
Exactly.
And it's a really cynical thing for the gas companies to do, to come in here and start leasing land even before they have permits to do it. Are they buying the land? No, they're not buying the land because they don't want to be responsible for the land.
Right.
You know, they want to take the land, do what they want and leave. That's why they're not buying this land. They could buy that land for the same price. Honestly, $1,000 an acre.
True.
They could buy this land from some of these people.
What are your plans at this point? I feel myself, I've also been on an evolution with how I feel about it. And at this point, it's so clear to me that we can't allow it to happen until we know it can be done safely. Mm-hmm. And so
if it can be done safely,
which we don't know.
No.
You know,
everywhere that they've done it seems to prove the opposite.
Right. And wouldn't it be great if they could?
Yes,
I've said that from the beginning.
It would be great. It would be
fantastic. But so far we haven't seen that anywhere. What are your plans at this juncture? And I'm also interested for you as an artist, what the connection is, and Sunrise, feel free to jump in too if you'd like, but you know, between what you've committed your life to doing, which is art, performing, theater, and to how you've chosen at this juncture in your neighborhood to participate.
Well, I was taught as an artist that you had a responsibility to the culture and society, and you had a responsibility to be involved in the community politically and culturally, and you had to be educated, and those are deeply ingrained in me. My teacher was Stella Adler, and she you know came from a tradition that the theater, you're an artist, and you spoke about ideas, and you stood up for the poor, and go ahead.
No, give of yourself. Yeah. You know, giving as an artist.
Right, to give. Did you also study with Stella Adler?
No, I'm come from a very different background.
Okay.
Not acting.
Okay.
No, I was a model, unfortunately.
So. She had a little
and you gave of yourself.
Yeah, not quite, but yeah.
But talking about then that, so
it's a sacrifice too. You make. My family, I've been going up to Albany, and I've been lending myself to this, and
that's not a sacrifice.
It isn't. Well, it is because
But this affects us. It's
I know.
Such a personal.
Yeah.
So it's for us.
Because I miss my kids.
Right, yeah. And people really
I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to be fighting over this. I came up here so I didn't have to do this.
Exactly.
There's enough to fight off, yeah. You know, down in the city or wherever you are. Now we're trying to start a farming foundation.
Could you talk about that? Because I've been involved myself with potluck picnics with Trailer Talk, sharing locally grown foods, speaking with farmers.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a nascent movement here that's, mm-hmm. In the past 10 years, we've seen, you know, 3 or 4 organic farms come up and really have, they're doing really well. And there's a lot of homesteading going on here. There's a shift happening, and I think it's working its way all the way down to the city and all around the United States right now. And so we've been, we're trying to put together something to help the farmers. There's a possible creamery up here that we're trying to get, the legislature to get behind, a red meat processing company. And
And that's the thing, too. I am aware of some farmers who are organically farming and may have to leave their farms. And who knows if they could even sell them. So perhaps at great loss.
Yes.
But because they wouldn't be able to keep farming if sites come too close to their farm.
Yes.
Will-o-wisp, do you know?
Yes.
Them in particular?
And they're in Pennsylvania, just across the river from Calicoon, New York. And they have within 1 mile of their farm.
Yep.
They have a site
That's right.
that is going up, and right all the land around them has been leased for gas drilling. So yes, so that's a perfect example, is Will-O-Wisp Farm. That's serious, because we're talking then food security.
Yep.
And if we lose our farmlands, if we lose these...
I mean, this is some of the best farmland in the United States.
Yeah.
What we have that the West Coast doesn't have and the plains don't have is water. We have an abundance of water.
You've never tasted water like this water either. I've had so much bottled water around the world. Nothing beats this.
No.
The Catskills water, I know. And
I know.
It is precious. And it's a resource that we can't mess with.
Yep.
It's absolute death.
It's 7 million gallons, to frack a well.
And then the power goes out and I'm sitting in the dark with Mark and Sunrise. Well, it could have been worse. And Victoria Lesser joined me in the pitch dark trailer to talk about natural gas drilling. Victoria lives in North Branch, New York, which is also in the Sullivan County Catskills. Victoria Lesser, thank you for joining me in the dark trailer. We've got the batteries going, so thank you so much for
You're
waiting.
Welcome. Bugs were fine.
Here we are. So, I was just speaking with Mark Ruffalo about the issues in the county, trying to stop gas drilling. So could you share with me how you've been involved? You've been very involved with stopping the gas drilling.
Well, one of the things, any of us that live here that are aware of our surroundings, that the reason why we're here is because we love it here so much, because it is such a different place from where we might have lived before. Even though I've always been connected to the Catskills, I spent my summers as a kid up here. And actually in 1967, when Sullivan County Community College was 2 years old, I went to school up here. It was my first year of college. We went to classes in the old high school in South Fallsburg, and the girls lived in one hotel and the boys lived in the other. And things were happening. It was 1967. The hotels were still up and running and things. So I've always had a love for the Catskills. So when I moved back here, it was because of how magnificent it is. It certainly wasn't with ever believing that something like this anyone could ever think logically that this was something that should happen. When I see what they do in order to do what they do, whether it be the extraction, and it's not like, they've been telling the farmers, most of the people who hold the bulk of the land that they're attempting to lease, when those people are told how it's going to be, they're told that they come in 3 weeks, they dig a hole, and then everything disappears in this little pipe that comes out of the ground, and they put everything back. So those are just blatant lies. When you see what has to happen with the extraction of the gas, they have to prepare it before it gets shipped out and things like that. I don't know how they imagine they're going to do it. We've got these magnificent mountains. I mean, they say there are two things that grow in Sullivan County, rocks and trees. So I can't imagine how they think that they're going to be able to do this safely. And then, of course, without destroying such beauty, which is the amount of trees that will have to be taken out. But I want to say one thing, you know, because as I know I listened to what Mark said and a lot of the things were covered. I'm going to share with you something that I have said to people who've talked to me who are eager to lease their land out because they see the money. I had one person come into the inn and she said, how can I say no? They're offering me $1.5 million. And I said to her, and this is someone who doesn't live here full time. And I asked her, if I was able to write her a check right then and there for $1.5 million, because she has 2 young children, would she sell me the health and well-being of her children for $1.5 million? And she said, oh, of course not. So I said, so when you go home to your children, I said, because when does it start being about the humanity and stop being about the money? I said, because if you do this, do you have the willingness to go home to these children? And when they say, oh, mommy, where did you get $1.5 million? Do you have the willingness to say to them that you bought the health and well-being of all of the people in Sullivan County? And that's what I want people to ask themselves. The ones that, I mean, there are families being torn apart. There are farming families where part of the family doesn't want to lease and the other part does. I mean, families being torn apart. I mean, we see this all the time in the papers, you know, the wealthy person dies and the fighting over the will and stuff like that. And I'm always so grateful that that wasn't one of the fights that my family was going to have. Yeah. So that's what I want people to ask. Do they have the willingness to sell me the health and well-being of their children? Because if they say no, then I want to know how they have the willingness to sell the health and well-being of all of the children up here. And that's what has to start happening.
Thank you so much, Victoria. So well said. I want to talk to you about this farming foundation and the farmers. Do you want to talk about that another time?
Yes, because it's forming. I'm putting together a group and we have the potential of a great fundraiser. What we want to be able to do is we want to form the ability to have land trust funds so that when these farms come up, they don't get snatched up by someone who's on the outside who just wants to be able to buy this land because some of the farms, they might possibly be lost. But I did hear, I heard through the grapevine that there's going to be a milk strike that will finally bring some attention to how our farmers are struggling. And I'm not surprised they're struggling. Isn't it interesting that our farmers are still getting the same price for milk that they got in the 70s? And all of a sudden, there's hydrofracking, and these farmers have been on the edge of their seat. I want to ask, how is it possible in this country that the 3 most important professions are left to struggle? The people that teach our children, the people who grow our food, and nurses who make sure that the doctors get it right a lot of times. So our priorities are so off. And look, we all imagined that there was going to be a change with this new administration. Either there's, you know, we can't imagine what happens once someone moves into the White House, whether or not there is, you know, again, another one of my theories. And that is that somewhere off camera, there's always someone who says to him, you do it our way, buddy, or you're out of here. So I am. I'm disappointed that we had such hope for what was going to be. But yet we're going to keep working towards this because, look, we're already seeing some success just in what was told about the town of Coshecton, you know. A month ago, everyone was petrified that Coshecton was going to change their zoning, and we were able to get together and change it. So keep up the good work, and we're all going to, we have a lot of work to do. And we have to get, you know, just the, one of the things the farmers said, this is what the pledge is, that we are going to build our economy one farm at a time.
To find out more about what's going on in New York State and throughout the region, you can go to CatskillCitizens.org and CatskillMountainKeeper.org. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. Trailer Talk gratefully acknowledges the Park Foundation, the New York State Council on the Arts, and the Puffin Foundation for the generous support of our work. And special thanks to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, New York. In addition, it's contributions from people like you that make this project possible. To find out more about the Marcellus Shale Water Project, please go to www.trailertalk.net. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.